Good morning. Welcome back to church this morning. Good to have Ronnie Sarah back with us. He has been doing well after his treatment, but pray that may get better. We will be in Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. Passage of scripture I have spoken of many times in my preaching. Don't know that I've ever preached on it, so this morning I'm going to preach on it, probably for the first time, even though I have mentioned it, like I say, many times in the messages I preach over the years. Lord's teaching us in Hebrews chapter 6 to strive for our perfection in our lives and our ways of thinking. That's what we are to do as Christians, is to strive for perfection. I'm going to skip down to verse 4 for the sake of time, because I do have kind of a long message. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, to have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. When people read the word of God, until the Holy Spirit shows us what it means, we just take it for granted to believe what we believe it means. And this is the reason there's so much false believing and misunderstanding in the Word of God. When it comes to salvation, salvation is more than just being saved. Salvation is a process of God. It's not anything of us. It's all of God. It's not of any work. It's all of God. It's a gift from God to us. God gave his Son to us as a Savior to be born and come into this world and give his life on that cross, to shed his blood that all of our sins may be forgiven. But I don't care what passage of scripture in the Bible you look at, people see it through different views. As I opened up both of my Bible programs I have, Sword Searcher and also eSword, and look at all the different commentators, I find a whole lot of different views of what this means and what it says here. I do that a lot in the Bible because so many people have so many different views. Two or three passages of scripture I have this morning, people look at them different ways. It doesn't mean that I'm right and they're wrong, or they're wrong and I'm right. We all get to the same thought and the same idea. We just may not always believe all the same thing, but we want to look this morning at the fact that falling from sin is impossible. Falling from salvation is impossible. When men teach things wrong, or people read them wrong, they can frighten themselves pretty bad. Because it sounds like from this passage of scripture that if you happen to fall from salvation, you can't be renewed. Because the Lord starts out where it's impossible for those who have once been enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted a good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. That's not what the Lord's talking about here. The Lord's telling us that we can't fall. And I'm going to go into as deep a detail this morning as I can to why we can't fall. So as it is with many subjects in the Bibles, or the Bible, people always believe different. This is why it's most important to listen to God and not to man. We just have views. You got to listen to the Word of God. People always need to listen to God's Word. No matter what we're preaching or how we're looking at it, don't get angry if you disagree with someone. You study to show yourself approved unto God, that you can rightly divide the truth. God is truth. This means he cannot lie. Therefore, only he can be believed. I'm not saying that all preachers are liars. All preachers misunderstand. But we are all just men who have been taught by other men. The only true teaching is what the Holy Spirit teaches. He taught me truth, he teaches you truth, and he teaches all the men before me truth, and he'll teach all the men after me truth. He teaches all the churches truth, and it's out of that that we get our truth. This is why it's so important, as God said, the study showed ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Anyone who only believes that man teaches is a fool, because if we are not seeking our truth and understanding from the Holy Spirit the truth, then we are fools. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever shall hear the Holy Spirit, that he shall speak and show you all things to come. John 16:13. There are a few preachers teaching that we are eternally saved. Just a few. We are far and in between. And most all of them that teaches eternal salvation are Baptists. There are some others, but most are Baptists. The passage of Scripture speaks of salvation and us being enlightened, it says in Hebrews chapter 6:4. God said, when we are saved, we have tasted of the heavenly gift, tasted of it. And he said that we are saved when we were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. This is why God said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, for by grace we are saved through faith, not that of ourselves. It being salvation is the gift of God. Excuse me, my allergies are terrible. not of works, lest or that not any man should boast. So while many teach that salvation is a work, they contradict God. Salvation is not a work. It's a gift. It's not a gift from me. It's not a gift from this church. It's not a gift from you. It's a gift from God to all of us who are saved. In John chapter 5, verse 10, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. In himself he hath the witness. He that believeth not God hath made him, God, a liar, because he did not believe the record that God gave of his son. You cannot stand and profoundly proclaim that God does not save sinners and salvation is not Jesus Christ and that we are not eternally saved, because all of that is taught in the Word of God. Nowhere in the Word of God is it ever taught that we are saved any other way. In fact, the Lord said in Ephesians 2:9 that we are profoundly not saved by works of any kind. A work is anything you do to bring about your salvation. We always have to remember that salvation is a gift of God. And since it is a gift from God, no one else can take it from you. And that's what I seek to prove this morning. So what does God actually say about salvation? We'll turn to John chapter 3. Our first point is this. Salvation is a birth. It's a gift, but it's a birth. And what I mean by birth is just like your mother or father gave you life and your mother gave birth to you, God also gave you life and gave birth to you on his own, by himself, with no one else. God gave us a birth. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Nicodemus was talking to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The words born again means to be born from above or to be born of God. Born. It means to be born a second time. As though you were born a first time, you will have to be born again a second time. This is a spiritual birth. It is different than him actually giving physical birth to you. He's giving you a spiritual birth. He's giving you new life. He's giving you a life inside of you. He's giving you a whole new nature. He's not rebuilding the old nature you had. You still have it. It's a battle, isn't it, sometimes between our two natures that we have to battle in inside of ourselves to do the good of God, don't we? But nonetheless, it to be born again means you are actually born of God. He's giving you a new life. He's giving you a new nature. He's giving you a new way of life. It's all totally different. It don't sound like something we can lose because God has given it to us. God's not only given it to us, he's also sealed it. He's also secured it. He's also made sure and protected it that we cannot lose it in any way. Because if we could lose it, then there's no way to renew us. And we'll get into all that in just a few minutes. So Nicodemus was like most people, very powerful, very knowledgeable, very smart, but a person who knows nothing about salvation. There's a lot of people in this world that doesn't know about salvation. If they knew about salvation, they'd be saved. A lot of the preachers, a lot of churches don't know anything about salvation. They worship, they preach, they sing, they praise God. It's all a big zeal. It's like the Jews, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, Paul said of them in Romans chapter 10. So Nicodemus was one of these people. He was a Jew, wasn't he? He knew nothing about salvation, knew nothing of Christ. He had not been born again. However, most of them called themselves Christians. They called themselves pastors. They called themselves churches. Just like Nicodemus, when he understood that it was a birthing process, but not just figuratively, but literally. Because look at verse 4. Nicodemus asked a very intelligent question. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again and be born? Well, right there, Nicodemus is telling you, I understand what you're saying here, Jesus. You're saying I must be born again? How can I be born again when I'm born the first time? How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? Now, Jesus didn't say, no, 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 Nicodemus, you don't understand what I'm saying. That's not what Jesus said, was it? See, Nicodemus was on the right track when he was comparing what Jesus was talking about being born again. He was comparing it to the birth that he had with his mother. Now let's go to verse 5. When Jesus responds, he says, and Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So now, I was taught as a young preacher, every Christian should understand, the first thing we have to do to understand the Word of God is to put it in context, right? Now, a lot of preachers are going to disagree with me what I'm going to say. Not all of them. A lot of good Baptist preachers believe what I do. Some of them don't, and I'm okay with it. What's the context of the Scripture? What is Jesus and Nicodemus talking about? That's the context, isn't it? Jesus told Nicodemus, one, you have to be born again, or born a second time. Again means more than once, right? And then Nicodemus recognized that to be born of his mother the first time. And he's asking, how can I go back into the womb and be born a second time? But that's not the procedure, is it? The idea is there. The thought is right. So Jesus tells him that, my allergies are just coming. That you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, people say water is baptism, water is Word, water is this, water is that. Water is the natural birth. We're talking about two separate births here. The breaking of the water are the natural births and the Spirit. You're talking about Jesus, Nicodemus asked a question, Jesus answered the question. See, Nicodemus, you can't go into your mother's womb and be married, born the second time. You have to be born of her. Then you have to be born of the Holy Spirit. Except you are born of water, your natural birth, and second of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Being born of water is the natural birth, and being born of the Spirit is that of the Holy Spirit, being born from above. Everything else you put in there for water just don't add up. Baptism, well, salvation is not a baptism, is it? But it has to be that it's a process that you're talking about. And the reason it's so important that we understand that is it's showing two births, isn't it? It's showing the natural birth. How can I be born a second time? And Jesus said you must be born again a second time. So therefore, you're first born of your mother. Secondly, you're born of the Holy Spirit. And how is that? Because the Holy Spirit comes into us. And the Holy Spirit quickens our spirits. And the Holy Spirit causes us to believe. By opening up our spiritual ears that we can for the first time hear the gospel of Christ. Being born again, being born saved altogether, is a birthing process. It's a birthing process of God to us to make us not only children of this world, children of flesh, children of our mothers, but also children of God. So much so that he adopts us to physically make us his children, doesn't he? See, verse 6 confirms this, and John 3, he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Again, Jesus is talking about the two births, isn't he? The birth of the flesh and the birth of the spirit. We actually have been born twice because we're Christians. We were born of our mothers and born of God. God hath, Scripture says many times that God hath begat us. Now, to be lost, to fall from salvation, to lose our salvation, means we have to be unborn. If you're born again, if you're born a second time, if you're born of God, then to lose that would mean first that you'd have to be unborn. You can't be unborn as a person. You can't be unborn as a Christian. It's a gift that God has given to us. Oh, excuse me. I know my allergies are going to get so bad. So, second, when God said in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, having tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, this is exactly what he's talking about by giving us this new born, by causing us to be born again. That's exactly what he's talking about when we tasted of the heavenly gift. The heavenly gift is our salvation. The heavenly gift is our new birth. The heavenly gift is all that the Holy Spirit does for us to bring us to Christ, to introduce us to the gospel, to open our spiritual ears, that we may hear that gospel for the first time and believe. And what happens after that? Does the Holy Spirit leave? No, he stays, doesn't he? He is inside of me. He's inside of every Christian that's born again. He's inside of every one of God's children. That's the heavenly gift. That we were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, it said, or the Holy Ghost, as it says. Excuse me. So exactly what is the writer here talking about? And he said, we are saved, we are partnered with the Holy Spirit. As Vincent said in his work studies, he said, the Holy Ghost is a gift itself which possesses the heavenly quality. So it's everything in us, everything about us as Christians is the Holy Spirit inside of us. We become partners or partakers of the Holy Spirit. We are working with the Holy Spirit. He works with us and we work with God. And it all makes that big circle, doesn't it? So we are doing the things of God as Christians. But it has to start with God reborn in you. God does not make over. He does not do model. It's not like Justin comes over to my house. It's not like they just put that porch cover on out there. They didn't take the old one and just build it. They build a whole new one. That's what God does for us. The old one wasn't worth rebuilding. It was totally depraved. Nothing good in it. The old nature. But God gave us a new one. That's our rebirthing. That is a gift from God. That is our heavenly gift. And by it, we become partakers with the Holy Spirit. We become partners with Him. Many times you feel the Holy Spirit working inside of you, don't you? You may say something and feel bad. You may not understand something, and all of a sudden, it just comes to you. You start understanding. How is that possible? Possible because the Holy Spirit's inside of us doing those things. We are no way perfect in this world. We are perfect in soul and spirit. And one day, we will be perfect in body when Jesus comes and our bodies are raised up and glorified with new bodies, then we will be completely, totally redeemed, glorified in every way. So we are partners because we have tasted of the heavenly gift. We've had the new birth, haven't we? The gift of God is salvation. That's what he said in many times, but we just read it in Ephesians chapter 2, didn't we? For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It, salvation, is a gift of God. Not of any works that you have done, but that God has sent his Spirit into us to rebirth us, to give us a new birth, a new life, a new nature. not making over the old stuff, but giving us a whole new nature about us. So we are tasting of him, aren't we? We taste him all the time. That's when he's dealing with us. That's the tasting that we have of him. Or we're taking him unto us for a lifelong relationship. And in that lifelong relationship, we can't lose it. God help us if we could lose it, we would lose it. Who do people think they are? Thinking that they can live a life satisfactory to God outside of God. It's not possible. It never was possible, and never will be possible. We are sinners saved by the grace of God, reborn, rebirthed, given a new nature, like a whole new birthing. And God has given that to us, and it's not something we could ever lose. God has adopted us as his own children. What, are we going to sin one time and God kick us out of the family? Think about it. People don't think about what they believe and how it fits with the Word of God. We have to think about what God is telling us. Otherwise, we'll never understand it. With this rebirth, we are partnered with God through the Holy Spirit, living inside of us, working the works of God in us and through us. I don't just preach. I don't just get up here and preach. I don't just... Sometimes my wife has an issue when I tell her I need to go study. She don't understand that the Holy Spirit is dealing with me, giving me ideas, giving me a thought, and I need to go put it down on paper. I've talked to many preachers. I don't experience this myself. I do get up sometimes at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and study. A lot of preachers do that. But preachers have told me, said, Randy, I wake up in the middle of the night and God's talking to me. The Holy Spirit's dealing with me. And I can't do anything until I go in there in my office, my study, and I write these things down. That way I don't forget them. I understand what they're saying. And if you never have preached, you don't understand that. If you never taught, you don't understand those things. But they really do happen. And that's the way the Holy Spirit deals with us. It's just like when you're out doing something, all of a sudden you say, well, that's wrong. That's not right. I need to straighten this up. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with you inside. Partnering us with God. Our second point, and this will be our last point because I only have two, but it's kind of a long one. What would it take for one to lose their salvation? You ever thought about that? People say, well, if you sin a sin, well, they will always be lost. And the Lord said, what did he say here in Hebrews chapter 6? See, people try to not agree on things, to eliminate things, so it makes sense to their thinking. Well, the Bible doesn't make sense to our thinking. The Bible makes sense to God's thinking. And we have to think like God does. And that's the only way we'll ever understand the Word of God, if we understand what God is actually saying. And God said that it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted heaven's gift, they were made partakers of the Spirit to have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come. We have tasted of it. Now, I mean, is that a place you want to go? How many of us don't want Jesus to come right now? Why do we want Jesus to come right now? Because we have tasted through the Word of God. We're eating it. Remember, we have tasted of the Word of God. And we want it. I want it. We have a Bible cover coming up in a couple weeks. I have a vacation coming up. A well-needed vacation coming up. And I would give both of them up if Lord came down. Wouldn't care about either one of them. But listen, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. You can't be born a third time. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that you can fall from the rebirth, from being born again, and be born a third time. Does it? There's no name in there. Folks, and I'm going to get into this in a few minutes, but it's impossible. Go to 2 Timothy 1, if you will. So what would it take for one to lose their salvation? Well, you can't lose it. It's impossible, the Lord says, because if you were to lose it, you couldn't be born again. I read one commentary. Can't remember who it was. It might have been Peoples. It might have been Pulpit. I can't remember who it was. And they said that a pastor said, I got a call in the middle of the night from one of my members who had went out and sinned. And the sin wasn't light. It was a heavy sin. And they were sure in their mind that they had fallen from their salvation because they sinned against God. And they remembered this passage of scripture that I preached on right here. And they said that I could never be reborn again. I could never be enlightened again. I've lost my salvation. I cannot be renewed. Scripture says that. Well, apparently they weren't paying attention to the preacher when he preached it, because I know this preacher, know of him, he's gone, but know of all of them, and none of them would have ever teach that if you ever sinned, you couldn't be born again, because you can't fall in the first place. You can't unborn yourself, no more than I can unborn myself right now. So the Lord says here, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, that the good thing which was committed unto thee kept by the Holy Ghost which dwelt in us. It kept by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit that's in us. He's in us. Think about that. You walk around every day, your work, and you worry about things, but God's in you. The Holy Spirit's in us, telling us. Remember, God is a spirit, and that spirit dwells in us. And that's what Paul's assuring us here, is that we're committed unto the keep by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. He's going to keep us, isn't he? Now go to John chapter 1, if you will. I'm going to turn that real quick. John chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 13. In chapter 1, which were born. You weren't just saved. You were born. You were born again, Jesus said, weren't you? You were born, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but what's the subject? Born. You were born. You were born. Now, go back to verse 12 there. Well, go to verse 11. He came unto his own, Jesus, came unto his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of man, not of the will of flesh, but of God, born. Not because you want to, not because you chose to, not because you did something to be born, I got to move. So Jesus went back, and go back to Hebrews, if you will, go to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to talk to you in the next 10 minutes. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and 12, says, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Listen, once and for all. The Lord said in Hebrews that if they should fall away, or if they could fall away, they can't be redeemed. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for our sins through his body once and for all. There's no second time needed. That one time was enough for God to birth us. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. It would be an open shame to say that the sacrifice Jesus did wasn't enough, or it failed. Isn't that contradicting what we just read? Is there any way to make sense out of what the world believes, the Christian world believes, and what the truth of God's word is? Jesus said, God said over in Hebrews 6:6, we just read, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, listen, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. Didn't say that God crucified him a second time. It says that we're trying to crucify him a second time. A friend. And what would that do for Jesus? And put him to open shame. You know, every time people talk about work for salvation, and they're talking about that they have to work out their own salvation, well, that's what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible means. Read it in context. When they have to work out their own salvation, they're putting Jesus to shame. If you could fall away, you can't be renewed. God says you couldn't. Because if you could be, what's it do? It puts Jesus to an open shame. Because didn't the scriptures just tell us that he died for our sins? Once? Didn't he die to save us once? And didn't the Lord go as far to say, offering his body for those sins? Once and for all? For all the sins. Not for everybody, for all the sins. We are eternally redeemed. We are born of God and given eternal life. Colossians chapter 2:2, if you will. If we could fall away, we would never be born from above ever again. You can't. And we don't. Thank God we don't, because we could. I fall every day. Wouldn't you fall every day? Only an imbecile would think that they don't sin every day. We don't know anything if we don't know that we sin every day. So we ask God every day to forgive our sins for the day, don't we? God, forgive my sins several times a day. Every time I pray. Did Jesus truly carry all of our sins to the cross with him? Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the exercise of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, not going to forgive, but having forgiven all of your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, how? By nailing it to the cross. So what would it take to be born a third time? It would take Jesus coming down, being born of a woman, living another life, and giving his life, nailing to the tree again. That's what it would take. But see, we know that we've been forget of God. We've been born of God, like unto our mother giving birth to us through the watery birth. The Spirit has also given us birth a second time, making us eternally a child of God, whom God has accepted as his own children by adoption. Having, verse 15, having spoiled principalities, he spoiled them. He put them away. Principalities and powers, there's no power over us, folks. God's over us. Satan's not over us. Don't ever think Satan has you. He doesn't have you. God has you. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, the Lord said. Did he destroy death for us? Did he destroy Satan for us? Did he destroy sin and their power over us? Did he make us victorious or not? Yes, he did. We already have victory. We already have eternal life. We're not going to have it. We already have it. We've been born again, and we are now the children of God, and will forever be the children of God. Go to Romans chapter 8. This is going to be our last picture. I'll close with this. Salvation is a gift from God because God loves us from eternity past. He saved us by making us born again. He sent Jesus to die for us, eternally cleansing us from all of our sins. He chose to forgive all of our sins through the blood of the Lamb. He birthed us, gave us life, and he will never leave us nor forsake us, nor will he ever separate us. He's always with us. He's never far from us. I'm going to close with Romans chapter 8, because I love this passage of scripture. But listen to it real closely and thinking about how that we can separate ourselves from our new birth. In verse 34 through 39, the Lord says these words. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God. Also maketh intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a good question. Because you know, to be lost again means you have to be separated not only from the new birth that God has given you, not only do you have to kick the Holy Spirit out of you, but you also have to be separated from the love of Christ. You know that? All of that has to be done for you to lose. Well, I can do it myself. Let's see who can separate us. Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, or poor, or sword? As is written, we are forsaken. We are, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We go through it every day. These things we go through every day. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what we are. Why do you think so many millions of Christians died at horrible death? Why do you think Jesus died a horrible death? Nay. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, through Christ. We are conquerors. where I am persuaded. Listen, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, listen, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, listen, this includes you, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, we cannot lose it to start with. If we could, the Lord said we couldn't be renewed. Because Jesus died once. The precious gift of God is his life with the Holy Spirit, causing him to come into our, causing him to quicken our dead spirits, causing him to give us light to see, ears to hear, causing us to hear and see that gospel for the very first time, giving us faith in the face of Jesus, I may add, to be able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that, God birthed us. He gave us a whole new nature. We still possess the old one. We'll lose it when we leave this flesh on this earth. And God gives us a new body. Yes, that thing will be gone for the first time, won't it? That's okay. What God has given us, the gift that he has given us, is eternal. It is not eternal. It is not something that even we, no other creature includes us, we cannot lose what God has done. We cannot unbirth ourselves from God, no more than we can unbirth ourselves from our mother's birth that she had given us at birth. Let's all stand. Justin's going to come, lead us in a song. If reason to come this morning, you come while he leads us in this song.